Church, there is going to be an informational meeting about Haiti. You'll hear all the details about what it's going to look like, what the cost of it is, how long we're going to be there, what the dates are, what are we going to exactly be doing, and just go. Take a step of faith and go. I think sometimes we play it too safe in life. I know I'm talking to some of the right people here today. Just step out and go, because that might be exactly what God is calling you to do. There's going to be some other missional experiences coming up in the life of our church, but this is our next one, and take advantage of it. So right now, let's talk about getting connected, and let's watch this video.
There are hundreds of ways to connect in this world. You can call someone or share a photo. You can travel to exotic locations and stay connected on your wall. You can even squeeze your connections into 144 characters. But what's the best way to connect? Connections happen best when we're in community. When we're in church, engaged in people's lives. Connections happen in small groups. When we invite people into our homes or have a cup of coffee together. Connections happen with a smile, or a handshake, or even a simple good morning. Connections happen when we take the time to let others know they matter. Look, it all comes down to relationships. You and someone else, face to face. Take the time. Make the time. Get connected.
How many of you like to connect with God out in the out of doors? I know I like to. I love going out on adventures. Do I have any other adventurers out there, or am I alone in this? Well, not many adventurers out there. Woo! Y'all might fall asleep during this message then. Just saying. I love going out on journeys. One of my favorite places in the world to go is Yellowstone National Park. I love to go to Yellowstone. I love the out west. There's just nothing like it. The terrain is different. The smells are different. Everything is different. And I feel deeply connected to God out there. I feel deeply connected to God when I'm gardening, or when I'm taking walks outside, or hiking in the mountains, when I'm whitewater rafting, or whitewater canoeing, or kayaking. I just feel deeper with God when I'm in the out of doors. Now, I don't like to do those adventures by myself. It's not safe to hike alone in the mountains, which are my preferred place to hike. So I not only connect with God when I'm out there, but I connect with other people. But you see, before we go on a journey, we come to a conclusion that we want something different, right? We want to be in a different place. We want to see something different. We want to smell something different. We want to be with the people that we love in a different way. We have a yearning or a longing to go or do something other than the normal routine of daily life. Our faith journeys are similar. When we come as we are, before the Christ and the cross, we are seeking something. We may not even be able to name it, but we are seeking something when we come as we are before Christ and the cross. And as we stand before Christ and the cross and we seek, usually there's something in us that stirs. And it's calling us to go deeper. To get deeper connected with God, or to get deeper connected with people who know about this God thing. And so we begin to move from standing in front of the cross, where we see the broken and the bloody Jesus, the one who might be in the stages of death, or maybe he's died. And we move to go behind the cross, after the cross, where the resurrection has happened, where we begin to know that there is more to the story than death. That when we move behind the cross, we move into new life. That's part of our journey. Much like when I come and hike, and I come to that trailhead, which is basically a trail marker. As I stand before that trail marker, I have a decision to make. Am I going to head down the trail, or am I just going to stand still at the marker? In our own faith journeys, we have that same question, right? Am I just going to come and stand before Christ and not move? Or am I going to decide to head down the trail, to head down a discipleship pathway, and to get deeper connected with God and with one another? What makes me head down the trail is a longing. It's a longing for connection. Connection with the splendor of God's incredible creation and the people whom I'm hiking with. If you've brought your Bibles with you today, I want to encourage you to open them up to the book of Romans, chapter 12, verse 2. Grab your Bible on your cell phone, or you can go to the Bible app YouVersion for the sermon notes if you prefer to take them with your phone. But let's take a look at the book of Romans, chapter 12, verse 2. The Apostle Paul tells us, "Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will." Do not conform to the pattern of this world. New paths are formed when we decide that we're not going to conform to what the world says is normal. A discipleship pathway, that's that process where we decide, I'm not going to do what the world says is normal. And it's called a pathway because of the way they're formed. If you ever think of a path, how is a path formed? A path is formed when somebody, a person, an animal, or a creature stays on the same path over time, right? It's continuing to put one foot in front of the other, and you continue to walk that same spot. When you walk that same spot over time, a pathway is formed. Hunters, if you're going to get ready and go deer hunting here pretty soon, what do you look for? Yeah, Tim's back there going, yes, right? What do you look for? You look for the deer paths, right? When I find the deer paths, then I know that I am in the right area, and that would be a good spot to put my tree stand. But how do I know that? Well, I know that because there's these little trails that mark where the deer have been walking back and forth, back and forth. Our spiritual journeys, we're forming our own paths. As we walk more and more with Christ, we move from coming before the cross to moving into a deeper connection behind with the resurrected Christ and with God behind that cross. But we continue to walk the same path. As we continue putting one foot in front of the other on our path with Christ and with other believers, our personal discipleship pathway forms. With each step that we take, we move further down the trail. With each spiritual discipline we take on, we connect deeper with God and with one another. A follower of Christ becomes a disciple when more and more patterns of spiritual disciplines are in place. The disciplines of prayer, regular time in prayer with God, with study, with opening up our Bibles and reading, or reading a book about God, or reading a book about prayer. Being in community with other believers is a way that we continue to move down our spiritual pathway. Fasting and giving up of our tithes and our offerings. You see, a difficult hike, it becomes more enjoyable when the best practices of being a well-prepared hiker are in place. A necessity for an enjoyable hiking experience is usually a good pair of hiking shoes. One of the places I like to hike out in Yellowstone is a place called Mount Washburn. In Mount Washburn, it's what they would call a relatively easy hike for out there. And you go up to the top, and there's a fire tower. And when you get up to the top and you get into the fire tower, you can see three different states and three different mountain ranges on a clear day. It's stunning. Along the way, you can see bighorn sheep and all kinds of other animals. But it's rocky, and there's some grade going on up there. You go about 1,000 vertical feet. It's lovely. But because it's marked kind of easy, you see people going on this hike unprepared. And I've seen people going in flip-flops instead of hiking shoes, and their feet are sore. I've seen families of 4 and 5 people going with 1 16-ounce bottle of water. Now, when I go for me myself, I take 4 bottles. I take 2 bottles of water and 2 bottles of Gatorade. If you've ever been out west, the air is a lot drier than out here. You don't need gills to breathe like you do here, but you do need water to help you get going. And so you see lots of people that are unprepared on this journey. And their hike is a vastly different experience than mine, where I've learned to go prepared. I've learned to put on the hiking shoes, and I've learned to carry a pack, and I've learned to carry water. It makes a world of difference in your spiritual pathway, too. When you try to go it alone, you'll find there's much more difficult spaces on your journey. The terrain can be a whole lot steeper, can be a lot more rocky. But when you go on that spiritual pathway with believers who believed about God and Jesus Christ, who are, their spiritual journey is so far ahead, you think, oh my gosh, even if I ran a marathon, I could never catch up, right? Those are called spiritual mentors. I have spiritual mentors that I call and we talk or we get together all the time. Then you have the people on the trail who are there beside you. They're at the same spot in the journey and they like to walk with you and you like to walk with them and you have conversations. And then as you've been on this journey for a while, there should be people on the trail behind you. As you hike up Mount Washburn, there's always people in front and always people behind. In my own spiritual journey, I have people beside me, and I have people who, they're just new on the journey. And so I'm their spiritual mentor. I'm the one, God help them, that they're looking for spiritual guidance, right? Like I have with mine. A follower of Christ becomes a disciple when more and more patterns of spiritual disciplines are in place. As I've said, I haven't always been a well-prepared hiker. There have been times when I've been the one in the wrong shoes. I can tell you there have been times where I've been the one that didn't have enough water on the journey. And it is a good thing to be connected to someone who's more experienced to you when you're in those situations. When I'm on my own spiritual journey and, you know, there's something going on in my soul that I just can't seem to make peace with, it's my spiritual mentors that I call who help me. Right? They're the ones that pray with me. They're the ones that give me truth and love. I don't have people who are my spiritual mentors that just tell me what I want to hear, because that's not how I'm going to grow. They're the ones that say, oh, Nancy, you messed up big time. So how are we going to figure, you know, let's figure this out. What do we do to correct it? Or, you know, Nancy, sometimes it's just grace. When you can have those deep conversations with people, your spiritual pathway, man, it's awesome. You get so much more connected to God. If I'm connected to someone who has more experience, they guide me in good practices that help my journey, like wearing the good hiking boots on a steep terrain. In my spiritual journey, if I am connected with a person or a group of people who are on the same journey but not in the same place, I gain a deeper understanding of God. I tell you, if you really want to learn about good theology from God, you need to work with children, because they will ask you some of the deepest theological questions than adults ever will. It's a great place to learn. The Apostle Paul tells us in verse 2, be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Just like my hiking poles help me along the path, my spiritual mentors are the one that mentor and support me. They're the ones that hold me up when I'm going through a hard time. They're the ones that shout with joy for me when we reach the mountaintop. They are the ones that through studies and through prayer, they help me move along on my discipleship path. As I connect deeper with my friends who are on their spiritual journey, we share the joys and the sorrows of life together. We rejoice when babies are born. We rejoice when people get married and when there's graduations and good things in life are happening. And we cry and we rest in the arms of God when things aren't so good, when there are deaths in the families, when there are hard times and relationships are going through rough patterns, right? Those are the spiritual highs and lows of life that, gosh, when you go through them alone, it's a whole different experience than when you have the love and the support of someone around you. When you are on the discipleship pathway with others who believe in God and they're seeking to renew their minds and spirits, then you can test and you can approve what God's perfect and pleasing will is for your life. See, how do you figure that out? So often I get people that say, you know, Nancy, I hear everybody talk about God's will for their life and they're following God's will for their life. I don't even know what that is. I don't even know what that means, right? Well, there's this thing that we have that we can take on our spiritual journeys with us. It's a great book. And it's a book, it's pretty thick, and it's called the Bible. And inside of this book are amazing stories. There are stories in here of romance. There are stories in here of intrigue, of mystery and spies. And there are stories in here of wars and battles. There's adventure in every page. You'll get to meet cool people like Abraham, Sarah, Moses, Naomi, Ruth, Isaiah, Jeremiah, Zechariah, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Jesus, James, Mary, Elizabeth. You get to meet really cool people that can teach you who God is and how God has walked with them in their lives. And when you get to know that, then you can see where God is in your life. You can see where God is talking to you, just like he talked to Mary. You can see where God is talking to you, just like he talked to Isaiah and Jeremiah and Zechariah. So many people say, how do I know what God's will is for my life? The biggest step to knowing what God's will is for your life is to connect with God. Get to know God. Get to know God through the scriptures, right? Get to know God through people who have followed on this journey for a while. When you begin to know more about God's expectations, when you begin to know more about God's grace and love, the whispers of God in your life become louder. The discipleship pathway with friends who can pray about what you're hearing as you begin to hear things from God, you can begin to discern, yep, that's a message from God. Ooh, no, I don't know about that one. I better go back and sit in my chair and listen to God a little bit more. And then I'll begin to know his good, pleasing, and perfect will. Continuing to hike along the discipleship pathway, it leads to a deeper understanding of God's good, pleasing, and perfect will. Like any trail you hike a lot, you begin to know it better. You know where the ruts are. You know where the deep places are. You know where the steep sections are and the sections that challenge you. But as you continue to go along your trail, you'll also get to the most spectacular view that you can ever imagine. From the moment that you accept Christ into your life, you are at the trailhead of your discipleship pathway. But that's not where your pathway should end. Spiritual growth, it is the process of becoming more and more like Christ. Why is it important to continue hiking on the discipleship pathway? Because spiritual growth is expected of the believer. Now, that's not an expectation that John or I have placed on you. This is an expectation that comes directly from scriptures. Jesus said in the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 28, verses 16 through 20, "Then the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain where Jesus had told them to go. When they saw him, they worshiped him, but some doubted. Then Jesus came to them and said, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me." Does it say there that Jesus only got a little bit of authority? No. Did he only get earthly authority? No. What Jesus is claiming here is that I have ultimate authority given to me from God and to reign on earth. Therefore, go. Does it say, therefore, stand still? No. Therefore, just sit and protest? No. It is a verb. Go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey some things I have suggested? No. Teach them to obey everything I have commanded. Commanded. It's not like, hey, this is a really good idea. If you feel up to it, you ought to check this out. That's not what Jesus is saying here. Jesus is saying, you need to go, make disciples of me, and obey and do everything that I have commanded you to do. And then Jesus says, surely I am with you always, not sometimes, not only in the bad times, but I am with you always, even to the very end of the age. Spiritual growth is an expectation of the believer. Paul, the author of the book of Hebrews, reprimands his readers for no longer trying to understand and being still an infant. He is saying, you've believed for a long time. Why are you still drinking milk? It's time to move up to the steak. It's time to move up to the baked potatoes. This criticism leads to an appeal. Therefore, let us leave the elementary doctrine of Christ and go on to maturity. The Apostle Peter says to grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We are instructed by Jesus and his disciples to not only come before the cross, but to connect with God and other believers on a deeper level. We are instructed to move along the discipleship pathway. Inside of your bulletins, there's a brochure outlining the discipleship pathway for Rolling Plains. I'd like for you to take those out for a moment. I really want to encourage you to read these. Here at Rolling Plains, we have laid out a discipleship pathway for you. John talked about it last week, to come as you are. This week, we are talking about connecting with God. And you connect with God and one another through specialized studies, through Financial Peace University, through Shape Class. We'll be offering a Shape Class here pretty soon. And what is Shape, you might say? Well, it's learning how you are designed, how you are shaped by God to be in ministry for God. For that, that's all of our purpose, right? And so sometimes it's through voice. We have great musicians, and we have people who can sing like there's no tomorrow. That's one of the ways that they are shaped so that ministry can happen, so that people can connect with God and can connect with one another. Maybe your shape is that you love children, and so you want to work in children's ministry, not because there's a need, but because that's how God has designed you. God's designed you to be with kids. You love that. Maybe it's that God has shaped you for hospitality, and you love making people feel welcome. You love doing that. That is one of the ways that you connect with God. And then as you grow in God's word and prayer, you can do that through Starting Point, where you come together, and it's a different starting point, right? You're moving along the pathway, and you're connecting, and you're growing with each other, and you're growing in your knowledge of the word of God. You're growing in your knowledge of how the church works. Married people's events, family events, global and local missions, those are one of the ways that you grow. You can continue to read on down. And then we go and we do exactly what Jesus told us to do, to go and make disciples, right? I like to think of the go as you're going out and you're repeating that process again. That's why I have people who are on the pathway who are behind me. We're repeating that process of making disciples. That's why people in front of me have, you know, they have also reached back and they've helped me on my spiritual journey. The Apostle Peter says to grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We do that through being connected to God and to one another. Here are your steps of faith for this week. Don't stand still. If you are currently involved in a Sunday group, a Sunday school class, or a small group or a ministry, continue to make this a priority in your schedule. If you are someone who is in a Sunday school class or in a small group, but only by name only, because your schedule has gotten so out of whack that you can't seem to find your way back, do some self-reflection this week and ask God, what's keeping me from getting there? What's keeping me from going? Am I keeping myself so busy that I don't have time for this because are you talking to me and I'm being stubborn and not listening? Are you trying to talk to me, but God, I think what you're going to say to me, it's just going to frighten me, and so I'm choosing not to go. I've been in both of those places, and I'm here to tell you that God's still going to keep talking. God's still going to keep pestering you. So just find some time in your schedule to get there and deal with it. You've got great people in Sunday school classes and in small groups that will walk alongside of you. If you are not in a Sunday school class or a small group, please go across the hall to the Embers Room. There are new groups that are forming. There's new men's groups. There are new small groups. There's groups that have been small groups, and they're open to have more people to come and be on their spiritual pathway together. Take some steps to move further down the discipleship pathway. I really want to encourage you to go into the Embers Room and to check out what is it that God is nudging you to do next. Would you pray with me, please? Most holy and gracious God, we give you thanks and praise that you call us to move, that you recognize that, Lord, you can't possibly reveal everything to us all at once, for it would be too shocking. And so you call us to move forward, step by step, into a deeper relationship with you, and into a deeper relationship with a community of believers. Holy God, may you continue to push us, to pull us, to move us forward. And God, may we go with your grace, with your love, and with the knowledge that surely you are with us, even to the very end of the age. It's in the name of God, our Creator, Jesus, our Redeemer, and the Holy Spirit, our advisor, our counselor, and our friend, God, that we place our lives into your hands. Let us all say together, amen.
Well, it's good to be with you today. We hope that you've been blessed by this time together, and we hope that you'll give yourself a few extra minutes today and stop by the Embers Room as soon as you walk out of service.